Welcome. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A question that Brother Trevor asked me still is on my mind. Before we started this morning, this service, he asked me if I was on fire. And my response was yes. But honestly, I have some doubts. And basically, as a result of the sermon and the subject matter, a lot of this sermon will relate to the heart and the state of the heart. To begin, I'd like to read the title of this sermon, Blessed Are They. I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. And this is the definition given from the American Dictionary of the English Language by Noah Webster in 1828. Blessed, enjoying spiritual happiness and the favor of God. Blessed. I would imagine that spiritual happiness comes from being favored of God. I'm going to read a story about a people who were blessed. And I'm going to begin in the third book of Nephi, chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Now it came to pass that according to our record, and we know our record to be true, this is the people, the history, the story of the people on this land, the people, a remnant of the house of Joseph, who believed in Jesus Christ, and Jesus came to visit them on this land. And this is their record. And now it came to pass that according to our record, and we know our record to be true, for behold, it was a just man which did keep the record, for he truly did many miracles in the name of Jesus. And there was not any man which could do a miracle in the name of Jesus, save he were cleansed every whit from his iniquity. I thought that phrase was interesting. Because when we ask God for anything, for his guidance, for his favor, for his blessing, for a miracle, we have to be cleansed of our iniquity if we expect a good answer. Verse 3, and now it came to pass, if there was no mistake made by this man in the reckoning of our time, the 33rd year had passed away, and the people began to look with great earnestness for the sign which had been given by the prophet Samuel, the Lamanite. Samuel prophesied of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what would occur on this land. And they looked for that sign to take place, and there began to be doubtings, beginning in reading in verse 4. Yea, for the time that there should be darkness for the space of 3 days over the face of the land, And there began to be great doubtings and disputations among the people, notwithstanding so many signs had been given. As we read through this story, I'd like you to consider our time and the signs that have been given of the last days, and the state of the land, and the state of your heart, and my heart. And there began to be great doubtings, verse 5, and disputations among the people, notwithstanding so many signs had been given. And it came to pass that in the 34th year, in the first month, in the fourth day of the month, there arose a great storm, such an one as never had been known in all the land. And there was also a great and terrible tempest, and there was terrible thunder, insomuch that it did shake the whole earth, as if it was about to divide asunder. And there were exceeding sharp lightnings, such as never had been known in all the land. And the city of Zarahemla did take fire. And the city of Moroni did sink into the depths of the sea. And the inhabitants thereof were drowned. And the earth was carried up upon the city of Moronihah, that in the place of the city thereof there became a great mountain, and there was a great and terrible destruction in the land southward. But behold, there was a more great and terrible destruction in the land northward. For behold, the whole face of the land was changed because of the tempests and the whirlwinds and the whirlwinds and the thunderings and the lightnings and the exceeding great quaking of the whole earth. And the highways were broken up, and the level roads were spoiled, and many smooth places became rough, and many great and notable cities were sunk, and many were burned, and many were shook till the buildings thereof had fallen to the earth, and the inhabitants thereof were slain, and the places were left desolate. And there were some cities which remained, but the damage thereof was exceeding great, and there were many in them who were slain. And there were some which were carried away in the whirlwind, and whither they went, no man knoweth, save they know that they were carried away. And thus the face of the whole earth became deformed because of the tempests, and the thunderings, and the lightnings, and the quaking of the earth. And behold, the rocks were rent in twain, yea, they were broken up upon the face of the whole earth, insomuch that they were found in broken fragments, and in seams and in cracks upon all the face of the land. And it came to pass that when the thunderings and the lightnings and the storms and the tempest and the quakings of the earth did cease, for behold, they did last about the space of 3 hours. And it was said by some that the time was greater. Nevertheless, all these great and terrible things were done in the space in about the space of 3 hours. And then, behold, there was darkness upon the face of the land. And it came to pass that there was thick darkness upon the face of all the land, insomuch that the inhabitants thereof, which had not fallen, could feel the vapor of darkness. And there could be no light because of the darkness, neither candles nor torches, neither could there be fire kindled with their fine and exceeding dry wood, so that there could not be any light at all. And there was not any light seen, neither fire nor glimmer, neither the sun nor the moon nor the stars, for so great were the mists of darkness which were upon the face of the land. Can you imagine if the earth and its elements went violent and then darkness, crying, sadness, destruction, no more TV, no more internet, no place to go to work, no vehicle to drive in, no grocery store to go to, no cell phone to call someone, no landline communication, darkness. There was darkness and death all around. What about your loved ones? What would your thoughts be? From the choices you had just made only moments before. The week before, when you dealt with those loved ones who had passed away. This was their response. And it came to pass that it did last the space of 3 days that there was no light seen, and there was great mourning and howling and weeping among all the people continually. Yea, great were the groanings of the people because of the darkness and the great destruction which had come upon them. And in one place they were heard to cry, saying, oh, that we had repented before this great and terrible day, and then would our brethren have been spared, and they would not have been burned in that great city, Zarahemla. And in another place, they were heard to cry and mourn, saying, oh, that we had repented before this great and terrible day and had not killed and stoned the prophets and cast them out. Then would our mothers and our fair daughters and our children have been spared and not have been buried up in that great city, Moronihah. And thus were the howlings of the people great and terrible. I think about their response. And later Christ says that they were spared because they were more righteous than the others. Yet they say, oh, that we had repented before this great and terrible day and had not killed and stoned the prophets and cast them out. I don't know this, but I'm assuming that because they were more righteous, they had not actually killed and stoned the prophets themselves, but their people had. And they took upon them their sins because they didn't do everything they could. That's my assumption. But I question my choices in this day. And am I doing all that I should be doing? Am I on fire? Do I have a pure and thankful heart? And do I act from that pure and thankful heart? Verse 26. And it came to pass that there was a voice heard among all the inhabitants of the earth, upon all the face of this land, crying, "Woe, woe, woe unto this people, woe unto the inhabitants of the whole earth, except they shall repent. For the devil laugheth, and his angels rejoice because of the slain of the fair sons and daughters of my people. And it is because of their iniquity and abominations that they are fallen." Please skip with me to verse 40. "And many great destructions have I caused to come upon this land." This is Jesus Christ speaking to them. "Because of their wickedness and their abominations." They were destroyed because of their choices. Their choices to disobey God, to not keep his commandments. Verse 41, "O all ye that are spared, because ye were more righteous than they, will ye not now return unto me and repent of your sins and be converted, that I may heal you? Yea, verily I say unto you, if ye will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life. Behold, mine arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive. And blessed are they which cometh unto me." I would really like this to be the central verse of this sermon. "Blessed are they which come unto me," says Jesus Christ. To come unto him in each decision we make, each day, each morning when we get up, whether we get up and fall on our knees and thank him for the day, even if we don't feel like it, even if we're tired and grumpy, yet we recognize we need him. And what he is good. We come unto him all day, in the choices that we make, in the things that we say and do, that we come unto him in our thoughts. And then in verse 50, he began to teach them that they will be blessed. What was that definition again? They would enjoy spiritual happiness if they're converted. They will have the favor of God if they come unto him. Beginning in verse 50, third book of Nephi, chapter 5. "Yea, blessed," with the favor of God, "are the poor in spirit, which come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This was after those 3 days. He came among them in the city of oh, I can't remember which city it was. Bountiful, thank you. In the city Bountiful at the temple, they were gathered together, a great multitude, and Jesus descended among them and taught them. He called disciples, and he gave them power and authority to preach and to baptize. And he began to teach them how they can be blessed, favored of God. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, which come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the poor in spirit, those of contrite spirit, of a penitent spirit. We read that only the truly penitent are saved. Those who are willing to recognize, when I'm willing to recognize that I have sinned, that I've fallen short, that my heart is not right, that I'm not on fire as I should be, and are determined, and I am determined to change. If I have that spirit, that contrite spirit, if I'm poor in spirit, and I come unto him with that, that he can change me, mine is the kingdom of heaven. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. If you come unto him and repent of your sins and allow him to change you. And again, blessed, favored of God, are all they that mourn. I can imagine when they heard this, that they thought of their loved ones. Who didn't repent and died. And hopefully they thought of their own sins and mourned that they had disobeyed God. Hopefully I mourn every sin I commit, that I have disobeyed Jesus Christ, and that my sin put him on the cross. Hopefully that remorse will cause us to repent, to turn from it, to allow ourselves to be changed by him. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Comforted. Relieved, forgiven, comforted. Verse 52, and blessed, favored of God, spiritually happy, are the meek. For they shall inherit the earth. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Christ describes himself as meek and lowly of heart. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I've asked for administration, and I've been asking for prayers regarding my work, because when Lorelli was preparing for chemo, I didn't work much, so now I'm catching up. And my clients are wanting their stuff, their reports, and I have to provide. And I've been feeling burdened, heavy laden, feeling like I can't. And so I've been administered to and been prayed for. And this verse this week, as I was reading one morning, was such a relief to me. Come unto me. Remember, that's what Christ commanded in that central verse I spoke of just a moment ago. Verse, third book of Nephi, chapter 4, verse 43. Behold, mine arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come, that's an action on our part, him will I receive, and blessed are they which come unto me. We have to allow him to take our burden, to take our burden, our labor, and being heavy laden, take that from us and allow us to rest. We have to allow, we have to come unto him. That's in prayer, that's in studying his word. It says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. A yoke is something that binds two oxen together. If we are bound to Christ and we do as he did, as he's commanded us, we follow him, his guidance. If we take his yoke upon us and learn of him, he says he's meek and lowly of heart. That word meek is a quiet, it's being quietly obedient. Think of Christ and how he was with his Father. He did everything his Father said. He kept all of his commandments. And he commands us to do the same. Everything he commands us to do, he's done for a purpose. He's commanded for a purpose, that we might be blessed, spiritually happy, favored of God. Man is that he might have joy. When you think of it that way, doesn't seem like a burden to obey God, does it? If you're going to receive joy from it, peace. And I thank God for this scripture, because I trust it, that if I come unto him, he'll give me rest. If I follow him and keep his commandments, he'll give me rest for my soul. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I believe that. I haven't trusted him enough and followed him enough to know it totally, but I'm on my way. Verse 53 of third book of Nephi, chapter 5. And blessed, favored of God, are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I recently read a report of our brother Jim Case, who went with brother Mike McGee to the Philippines. And to me, his description of our brothers and sisters in the Philippines was this, that they hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said you find it all over the place. In their vehicles, they've got it on printed on them, on their buildings, their public buildings, their desire towards God. And that's how I want you to consider this hungering and thirsting as a desire towards God. Hunger and thirst are physical needs we have. It's our response to those physical needs. We are hungry, we are thirsty. And it's a desire for those needs that we have, of food and drink. We should consider this phrase, hunger and thirst after righteousness, as a strong, which isn't a good enough word to describe it, desire for righteousness in our lives. Blessed are they, are all they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. This reminds me of our requirement that we have to be baptized. We are required to have a determination to serve Christ to the end. We're to come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And that we've already talked about that a little bit with this poor in spirit. That recognition that we've done wrong, that we've disobeyed God, and that we need him. And we need him to change. And that desire for righteousness gives us that determination to serve Christ all of our life. And when we come into him and keep his commandments and we're baptized according to his word by someone given authority by him to do that, we are filled with the Holy Ghost. And he completes his part of that promise in us. And that's that fire. That's that fire that moves us every day to be obedient to his commandments. Going back. Okay. Regarding this, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let's turn to 2nd book of Nephi, chapter 13, beginning in verse 29. After giving the teaching the doctrine of Christ, Nephi explains what we should do after that baptism, after we've been baptized in water and received a remission of our sins. They no longer to have the consequence of their punishment in our lives, the punishment of spiritual death. And we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Are we done? We're not. And he says here something that we should do. And it reflects this desire, this hunger and thirst after righteousness. Second book of Nephi, chapter 13, beginning in verse 29. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, staying focused on him. There are so many distracting things that keep us from that focus, that get us away. And usually it's our relationships with other people, especially people who are close to us that can hurt us. But we're to have that steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope in Jesus Christ, his merits, and the Holy Ghost that was given to us, and a love of God and all men. And here's the verse here. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ. There it is once again, reflection comes to my mind, that of hungering and thirsting after righteousness, feasting upon his word because of that desire. Feasting on the word of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. A promise of salvation. Necessary. That hunger and thirst after righteousness, the desire to be filled with the rightness of God. Being led by the Holy Ghost to do the things that Christ has commanded. Verse 54. Back to 53. Live it. Live what you feasted upon. I need to live it each moment, each decision I make. Need to want it and live it. Verse 54. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Merciful. Having mercy on someone. You have reason to punish someone because of actions that they have offended you by. We talked about that a second ago. That often people who we love hurt us, and we want to hold that resentment inside. We want to punish them because they hurt us. And possibly we have the right to, at least according to temporal law, that desire to punish is not merciful. But to choose to forgive instead is. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. For if ye, this is Christ speaking, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. verse 55. And blessed, favored of God, are all the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Third book of Nephi, chapter 5, verse 78, talks about what things cause our heart to not be pure. And Christ here, this is actually just a little bit farther than where we're reading in verse 55. Christ compares the commandments of Moses to his commandments. Moses commanded, thou shalt not kill, but Christ commanded, do not be angry with your brother. Moses commanded not to commit adultery, but Christ commanded not even to look upon a woman to lust after her. Not even to allow those thoughts. Christ was dealing with our thoughts to enter our heart. Not allow those to corrupt our heart. Christ said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In this verse 78, chapter 5, it says, behold, I give unto you a commandment that ye suffer none of these things, adultery, or lusting, I should say, anger, none of those thoughts to enter your heart. Ye shall suffer none of these things to enter into your heart, for it is better that ye should deny yourselves of these things, wherein ye will take up your cross, than that ye should be cast into hell. That's where those thoughts lead us, to hell. They lead us to commit acts that will cause us the consequence of hell if we don't repent. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 talks about this pure heart. Flee also youthful lusts, those desires for things, power, worldly happiness, those things that don't bring us joy. They bring us short pleasure. They aren't lasting. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, that pure love of Christ, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Those are that fruit of the Spirit that comes from a pure heart. And we can read all its attributes in Galatians 5. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? Where is my treasure? Some days it's different. Some days my treasure is serving Christ. And other days, it's not. It needs to be my treasure to serve God each day. Each moment when I make a choice. Verse 56. And blessed, favored of God, are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Being a peacemaker is the opposite of wanting a fight. Really wanting to get my word in. Wanting to respond because they hurt me. No. A peacemaker is that meek person who decides to shut their mouth even when they could respond and decides to submit to the will of God. When it's better that things be left unsaid, they don't say anything. And when they can, they speak the truth in love. Being a peacemaker is allowing God's peace to fill us. I'm thinking of Lorelli, and during this time we thought she was going to have to undergo chemotherapy due to her cancer. And God filled us with peace. Peace comes from God. Verse 57, and blessed are all they which are persecuted for my name's sake. When we are filled with this righteousness, when we have this pure heart, and that we have the fruit of a pure heart, the fruit of the Spirit of God that lives in us, others persecute. Others who are not filled with His Spirit, who don't have a pure heart, they persecute. That's why we want this, because it says that we are filled with His love, that we have been obedient to His commandments. So if we are persecuted for His name's sake, and we allow it and don't respond with anger, we have the promise of the kingdom of heaven. And the more you're persecuted, often greater persecutions come. The more you submit to God, greater persecutions come. Verse 58, and blessed are ye when men shall revile you. They rebuke you. They reject you. They offend you. They mock you and persecute and say all kinds of evil things against you. And the evil things aren't true. They're false. So you haven't really done these things. And the reason I say this is because I've tried to find solace in this scripture before when what they were saying was the truth. And I needed to be rebuked. And so this scripture applies to the person who is rebuked, who is persecuted for doing evil, but they didn't do it. The person said they did it, but they didn't do it. And they allow it themselves to be persecuted for Christ's sake. It says in 59, for ye shall have great joy and be exceeding glad, for great shall be your reward in heaven. You know, this is not saying you'll just be exceeding glad in the moment that you're being persecuted. It says, ye shall have great joy and be exceeding glad, for great shall be your reward in heaven. We have to suffer in this life for doing good. But so did our Savior. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you, and so persecuted persecuted they Jesus Christ. I'm going to end this sermon with a little saying at the East Local. Their Sunday school passes out challenges. And this is the challenge of this month. You know, as we read through those attributes of a Christian, being poor in spirit, being a peacemaker, pure in heart, meek, all of those, we see how we don't have some of them, how we don't live up to it, but we can. And that's why I want us to remember this challenge. It says, keep a prayer in your heart. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's from Philippians 4:6. So if you don't have one of these attributes, if you need him, we need him in all of them, but request it from him, first with thanksgiving for all he's already given you. And request that he give you what you need to serve him, to live it, to live this gospel that he gave us. May God be with us in this effort.